we've got 2016 as the year that the Lord has blessed us with. And the thing is, life always gives you what you expect it to give to you. If you expect nothing from life, you'll get nothing. This is life in general. And then the Bible says, once we start a relationship with God, we have an added advantage. The Bible says he rains his rain upon the just and the unjust on earth. He does not choose when he rains his rain. But once we accept Jesus Christ, we give him an opportunity to love on us abundantly. And the Bible talks about there was a period in Egypt when it was dark. But in the land of Goshen, there was light. When the Egyptians had frogs all over, the Bible says in Goshen, there was nothing. The Bible tells us about Benjamin. Benjamin was the younger brother of Joseph. When Joseph became the ruler in Egypt, and when they came, his brothers came to buy food from Egypt, the Bible says when he told them to bring Benjamin with, and when they brought Benjamin with, when he gave them food, he said they must come and eat with him in his place. He dished five times more than he did for the other brothers, for his younger brother, Benjamin. And when he was giving them clothes, when they were leaving, he gave to his younger brother five times more than what he gave to his other brothers. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the favor of the Lord that comes upon us because of the relationship that we have with God. Yes, he rains his rain upon all of us, but there is a special favor upon those who put their trust in him. When you put your trust in him, you give him an opportunity to love more on you. Praise the Lord. Now, today, what I want us to start with, this is how we normally start our service. We've got a confession that we go through. And as we go through this confession, for you, the guys that have visited us, we want you to understand that the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, we have believed, therefore we speak. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 verse 17, as Christ is in heaven, so are we in this world. Not that we will be like him. So the Bible does not consider our natural state. God looks at our spirits. He sees our spirits pure and holy and looking exactly like Jesus Christ. And he knows that once we keep our eyes then on who we are in the spirit, we will rise. In the spirit, our flesh will change. So Romans chapter 12 verse 2, it says, do not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. When the Bible says renewal, it means your mind in the spirit. Actually, it is perfect, a spiritual mind. But this mind that you have has to be renewed to who you are in the spirit. And then when you do that, you will become what you are in the spirit. Galatians 5 verse 16, it says, walk ye in the spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Some people say, do not fulfill the lust of the flesh so that you'll walk in the spirit. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, walk in the spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do you overcome the flesh? You focus on who you are in the spirit. So when we take the word of God and confess the word of God, we are saying who we are, and we know that it is impacting our lives. It is changing us, making us who he sees us already. You know, God does not punish us today, not because we do not sin, but God does not punish us today because in Christ we are pure and holy. He cannot punish us. We deal with the consequences of our sins. I mean, I still
and I'm caught, I'll be thrown in jail. I'll suffer the consequences of my sin. But does God love me less when I'm in jail? No. He loves me exactly the same because Jesus Christ paid for every one of my sins. So I'm trying to say, God looks at us in the spirit. He does not look at us in the flesh. So we, his people, what should we do then? We are his children. Romans chapter 5. It says, let us imitate our Father. So let us start looking at ourselves through the eyes of God, spiritual eyes, and see ourselves who we are. So the confession that we make here, see that as yourself. Don't pray this. Confess this. Declare this, because the Bible says, let the weak say I am strong, let the poor say I am rich. Confess. That is faith. If you confess what you have, you're not in faith. But if you confess what you do not have and you call it into being, that is what faith is all about. Christianity is not walking in the flesh and trying to glorify yourself in how strong and how good you look. It's all about glorifying Jesus by looking at what he has accomplished for you in the spirit. And we will never look down at other people, because the fact is the standard that God has in Christ, it's higher than what we can attain. So we are always striving towards that. So we never then look down at other people and think, you know what, who are they? And you know what, look at me, I'm holier than thou. We never have that attitude, because we know that we are called to be like the image of Christ. And we are all walking in the Spirit, becoming who Christ has called us to be. Christianity is a walk of faith. Christianity is not a walk of emotions. Christianity is not about how I feel. Because if Jesus Christ went by how he felt, we wouldn't be here today. And the Bible says walking by feelings is as well not walking by faith. Faith looks at things that we hope for. I may see the circumstance as it is, but I look at what the Bible says it is. And I know that I'm allowing God then to bring to pass that which I believe. If you have a negative mind, you allow doubt to fill your heart. You are allowing the devil to bring stumbling blocks in your way. He's going to stop you. He's going to defeat you from here. Remember, he does not have the right to go and condemn you before God, because Jesus Christ is sitting there. So what is he going to do? He's going to come and condemn you in your mind. He's going to make you look small. He will make you feel like you are nothing. Look at Achashem. Who is this? That is what he's going to do to you. He does not go to God and tell God, look at your child, because he knows that God is not going to listen to him. He was kicked out of heaven. Heaven is cleaned now. The sin of Adam went up to heaven, and he had the right to go in there. And when Jesus Christ went to heaven with his blood, the Bible says he cleansed the heavenly places. The devil cannot walk in there anymore. So any condemnation that the devil brings to you now, it's in your mind. It has nothing to do with God. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So because you are in Christ, when you see yourself in Christ, there is no condemnation for you. What am I talking about? When you look at this confession here, that's you. Don't pray about it. Confess it in the spirit. That's who you are. Declare it. And as you declare it, you're making it to come to pass. Let's go. I am filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. I'm fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I am strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. I continually give thanks unto the Father, who has made me to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. God has delivered me from the power of darkness and has translated me into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom I have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. you are fruitful. Can you see yourself fruitful? I love that lady sitting over there. You ask her, how are you? She says, I am beautiful. She knows who she is. She's not going to allow you to define her. That's the spirit of Christ. We do not allow the world to define us. We tell the world who we are. Before we can tell the world, we need to start telling ourselves. Once I've convinced myself, when I go to the world and I tell the world who I am, it does not matter what they say. They may dispute that. I don't care. This is me. I know who I am. That's the spirit of Christ. Jesus Christ told the Pharisees, or he came in and he walked like God on earth. And those who said he was not, he didn't care. He just did not even look at them. He continued with his mission. That is important for us as the body of Christ. We have to rise into our spiritual realm where we belong. Don't treat life in the natural. I'm going back to work tomorrow. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I am looking forward to not being dictated to by what is happening around me. I can hear whatever noise that may be happening around me, but in the spirit, I know that God has given me victory, and victory is mine. And I believe that that victory is mine, and I have it. I'm not going to have it. I have it already. Because Christ is inside me. So everything that comes my way, I'll deal with it. I'll deal with it. I'm not saying I'm going to put my head in the sand and ignore things that are happening. But I know who I am. Brother Lonnie, that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to know who we are. He wants us to focus on who we are. And then we'll get into that realm that he has called us into. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, part of our introduction, I'm going to go back to what we covered last week. Last week, we did part one of your promotion is from the Lord. This message is part of the series that the Lord has given to us. The series is Lessons from Joseph. We are looking at the life of Joseph. We are saying, what can we learn from that? And the Lord has been showing us great stuff. It has been great. I've enjoyed it myself. The fact of the matter is, I listen to my messages. Because I believe that they are not from me. They are from God. So in other words, if I expect you to listen to my messages, I listen to them. I listen to my messages 3 times after preaching them. I just don't take them lightly. So when I say I've been blessed by the messages, I mean I've been blessed. It's not because they were preached by me. I've been blessed by them. Now the first thing that we said last week was, as we start the new year, we must remember that one thing. God's principles and promises do not change because we have entered into 2016. The principles he has given us, the promises that he has given you, don't think that they were just for 2015. God builds line upon line, precept upon precept. He does not give you this precept and then take away, bring another one. No. If he gives you a promise, the Lord does not take away that promise. He adds to that. That is how it works. So remember then, this says to you and I then, we are in for a better year if we believe God. Remember, there was darkness in Egypt, but in Goshen, there was light. You don't have to go through what other people go through if you're trusting God. You don't have to. I'm not saying you won't. I'm saying you don't have to. At times you may go through that, but God will have his glory shine upon you and he will take care of you. That we have to understand. We have an added advantage because of our relationship with God. The second thing that we said was the redemptive work is already finished. God is not going to do anything new. The Bible says God has blessed us with all heavenly blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. So he's not going to pour more blessings. We will access more of His blessing that He blessed us with. The work was finished by Jesus Christ. Jesus said the work is finished. So He took care of all the consequences of the curse of the law. Then they made us, or gave us access to what? To the blessings of the Lord. So now what we do? We go to God and we receive from God. You must always remember that the blessings that you will experience this year, there won't be new blessings in the world. Other people have experienced them before. So it's not that God is pouring there and God is pouring over there. No. People over there receive from God. People over there receive from God. And more of us are getting the light and we are understanding God. And because of that, then more of us are receiving these things. The redemptive work of God is finished. So you have the right to go in. When you see a promise in the Word of God, it doesn't matter whether other people are experiencing it or not. When you see that promise yourself, take that promise, you can go before God and say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the provision that you made for this to come to pass, and receive it. You can have it. We said God can give you a specific way to focus your faith in a specific year. Or you can go to the word of the word like Daniel in chapter 9 to decide. You know, every year when we start the year, we always want a word from God. What is God's word this year? Because that's a good tradition. Expectation. We're expecting something from God. We want to know what is it that God has for us. So God can give you a specific word and say, this year, this is your word. Take that word, God is going to use that word to focus your faith. But if it happens that you have not received that, it doesn't mean anything. Go to the word, you know your need. Go to the word, find the word that speaks to your need. And take that word and say, Father, this is what you promised in your word. And I receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. It will happen. So you're not dictated to by whether you've received the word or not. You can go to the word yourself as well. God can give you the word. So don't despair if you have not received the word. And we spoke as well about the importance of God speaking to us on a daily basis. We need to understand that when God provided manna to the children of Israel, He said you have to collect manna every day. Except for the Sabbath day. The day before the Sabbath day, you can collect for the Sabbath day as well. On a daily basis, God wants us to have this constant contact with Him. Every day coming to Him and collect the manna. Every day, it's a relationship. It's the same with us. With our kids, we don't say, here's the money, go and live your lives. We want our kids to come to us. Have relationship with us. It's the same thing. So God is expecting us on a daily basis to interact with Him, and He will speak to us on a daily basis. Jesus said something. He said, when you pray, pray that our Father in heaven give us this day our daily bread. God will give us bread on a daily basis. So don't always think, because I've got the word for the year, that's it. God will still speak to you on a daily basis. When you are in church as a child of God, what happens is on a weekly basis, the word that God gives to you in church, it is meant for you for that particular week. But as well, as we said, God builds precept upon precept. So what does it mean? God is going to keep on adding to us the word. So you must be always remembering the words that have been preached in the past, because they have not gone to waste. Those words are still active. So you can go back to the old message that was preached many years back and take that message out, bring it back and take it for yourself and receive it. Never say, you know what, I'm not receiving this word because you know it was preached so many years back. No, that's not God. God always speaks to us. Praise the Lord. I wanted to share with you the word that the Lord gave to me
for 2016. I was asking the Lord, Lord, what's the word for 2016?
I wanted the word for 2016 like everybody. I cannot be not fashionable.
God, please help me, God, please help me. I need to have the word for 2016. And nothing. And only on Tuesday morning, when I was busy having a shower, boom, that's when the Lord gave me the word. Not when I was kneeling down, oh God, give me the word. I'm trying to say with that, God relates to us. It doesn't matter where we are, and He's not into some form of how we reach to Him. He's our Father. I don't give to Sbu when he comes and he kneels down when he asks from me. He can ask from me and say, Daddy, Daddy, please, please, Daddy, there's something that I want that can give me, man. You know what? I'll give it to him. He's my child. There's a relationship there. In the old covenant, yes, there was order. And we are not in that covenant. God has taken us out of that covenant. Mm-hmm. Now we are having a relationship. The Bible says now God calls us His friends. Mm-hmm. Sure. Before the new covenant, the only man that was called the friend of God was Abraham. But Jesus Christ said to us now, we are His friends. Mm-hmm. So the way He relates to us now is totally different to the way that He related to His people in Israel. So, we must understand that. The word came as a song. That's how it came. The Lord saying, this is the year for us to arise and shine, for His glory is risen upon us. Arise and shine, for His glory is risen upon us. And He led me to Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 5. Let's look at this. The Bible says, arise, shine, for your light has come. It has happened. Know that your light is going to come. Know that your light has come. Arise and shine. You don't shine, it's nobody's fault. It's you who decided not to arise. Arise and shine. And the glory of the Lord, look at this, is. Is. It's not that it's going to be risen upon you. It is risen upon you. You have the glory of the Lord upon you already. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. So this is not saying that there won't be darkness in the earth. There will be darkness in the earth. And it says, and deep darkness, the people. So people will experience deep darkness. But, you see, this but is in the right place. Because if you put your but in the wrong place, you complicate your life. This is how you should put your but. What do I mean by that? You are saying, things are very bad, but the Lord. That's the right place to put a but. Don't say the Lord is my shepherd and provider, but. That's the but is in the wrong place. Praise the Lord. So, but the Lord will arise over you. Right in that dark situation, the Lord will arise over you. Praise you, Jesus. And His glory will be seen. His glory will be seen upon you. It will be seen. It will be seen. Praise you, Jesus. It says the Gentiles shall come to your light. Whose light? Your light. Ooh, your light. And kings to the brightness of your rising. This is something. Lift up your eyes. This is important. Lift up your eyes all around and do what? See. If you do not see, it will not happen. See, they all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar and your daughters shall be nest at your side. And what it says, then you shall see. First of all, you must see all of them gathering together, your sons coming from afar, and your daughters being nursed at your side. You must see that. And when you see it, it's going to happen. And when it happens, then you shall see and become radiant. Your face will shine because you have joy inside you. And your heart shall swell with joy because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. You'll be a place of business like. Merchants. You know these guys, they were trading those days. People would come and trade. So he says, people will no longer stay away from you. They won't stay away from you anymore. People will start coming to make business with you. And as they come to make business with you, what's going to happen is the abundance, their wealth as well, will be turned to you. You'll be able to access that business. He says, then the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The wealth of the Gentiles, the wealth of the people that do not believe in Christ, shall come to you. You're not going to steal it from them. It shall come to you. Praise the Lord. This is the word that the Lord gave us for 2016. So now I am saying to you and I, we need to take this word then on daily basis. Take this word, put it up, look at it, meditate on it. Meditate on it. And as you meditate on it, you are enabling your spirit being to be able to produce this word for you. If you don't take it like that, your spirit being is not going to be able to produce this word. It's important for you to do that. Praise the Lord. We're continuing with our series. We're looking at the lessons from Joseph. And today's message is, your promotion is from the Lord. Think about that. Your promotion is from the Lord. Your promotion does not come from people. Don't look at people. God will use people. Your promotion is from the Lord. This is what I want to show you. As we start this year, as you start 2016, know that you are not looking at anybody to promote you. Because God is the one that is going to promote you. And when he promotes you, it doesn't matter what people say. Let's look at the story about this man of God now, Joseph. Genesis chapter 41. We are going chronologically. We started from Genesis chapter 39, where we started reading about Joseph. So we are now on chapter 41. And we're taking different lessons. The message that we preached last week, we looked at Joseph being called from the jail. He was in jail, serving in jail, wearing the uniform there. The Bible says that he was in charge of the other prisoners. That's how the anointing of the Lord works. You may be in jail, but if you are anointed of God, God will make sure that you get the authority. Not because you qualify. It's his favor. It's his favor. It's his favor. So the Bible says then, one day, Joseph is called out of jail. And he's supposed to go and appear before Pharaoh. And when he appeared before Pharaoh, we learned lessons that the Bible says, when he was called to appear before Pharaoh, the Bible says, he went and he shaved. And he changed his clothes. We said there's a lesson there. We talked about that last week. So he then appeared before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, these guys that I have here, the magicians and everybody cannot explain to me what I dreamt. I understand you can do that. So can you do this? And he said, it's not me that can do that for you. But my father, God, he is able to tell you exactly what is happening. So now, this is where now he's explaining the dream now, after Pharaoh told him what was the dream. Now Joseph responded, both of Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing. God is telling Pharaoh, now that is important for me. Who is Pharaoh? Is Pharaoh a born again Christian? Can you see that God is not going to be dictated to by anybody. He can use anybody as well. That is why, we've got an opportunity to vote and give our opinions. And if we do not vote, we have abdicated our responsibility. We must not blame God. But then whoever is in the office, we have to pray for that person. It doesn't matter whether you like that person or not, you have to pray for that person. Because God can still use that person. I know that's not a nice one, but it's the truth. We have to understand when you pray for the person that is in office, you are not saying they must continue in what they are doing, but you are praying that God's will be done. And God is in control. So if God knows that now it's time for me to move this person, that's what the Bible says. He's the one who raises others and he put others down. So if God says it's time for this person to go, what is God going to do? He's going to remove that person. What you just have to pray for is that the will of the Father be done. So if this person is standing in the way of the will of the Father, that person will be removed. Did you pray against that person? No. You prayed the will of the Father. That's we, the Christians. That's how we deal with this. Other people who are not the Christians do it differently. We need to wise up, Bazalan. God is telling Pharaoh, and remember, let me repeat this. I am not saying the person that is in authority is right. Please get that right. I'm not saying Pharaoh here is doing the right things. But I'm saying God's will is going to happen. God's plan is going to come to pass. So if it calls for God to influence Pharaoh and make Pharaoh do the right things, if the people are praying and trusting God for the right things to happen, God is going to have Pharaoh preparing for the conservation of the dream that God has, like it happened here. God told Pharaoh in advance what he's about to do. The 7 healthy cows and the 7 healthy heads of grain both represent 7 years of prosperity. The 7 thin, scrawny cows that came up later and the 7 thin heads of grain withered by the east wind represent 7 years of famine. This will happen just as I have described it. For God has revealed to Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. Therefore, Pharaoh should... Think about this now. This guy was a banditti that morning. This person was a prisoner that morning. This person is standing in front of Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, and he's giving him an advice. Think about that. I'm telling you, your promotion is from God. You remember where the Bible tells us that actually Joseph tried. He told the cupbearer, he said, when you get to Pharaoh, please tell him that I am in jail for the crime I did not commit. And the Bible says for 2 years, that man forgot about him. 2 full years. At the right time, God makes Pharaoh to dream. And he is called from jail. And we see here now he's giving an advice to Pharaoh. He says Pharaoh should find an intelligent and wise man and put him in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Oh, he's prophesying his future. Because he knows who he is. He knows that there's nobody else like him there. So he's giving, can you see what the favor of the Lord can do for you? It will give you an opportunity to dictate your future. Expect God's supernatural favor upon your life. If you don't expect it, it's not going to happen. If you expect it, it's going to happen. And when it happens, God can do, there's nothing that can stop him from doing what he did for this man. This is supernatural. This is supernatural. Then Pharaoh should appoint supervisors over the land and let them collect 1/5 of all the crops during the 7 good years. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God?
Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court and all my people will take orders from you. This is a foreign land. This man was not born here. He doesn't even look like these people. When they look at him, they say, you don't look like us. Does it matter to God? Nothing. All the things that we think are things that would prevent us from advancing in life mean nothing to God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Okay. All my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Verse 42. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He's giving this man his authority. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Then he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for his second in command. Wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, kneel down, kneel down. So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all Egypt. And Pharaoh said to him, I am Pharaoh, but no one will lift a hand or foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval. A foreigner. Sure. That is what the favor of God can do for you. Your promotion is from the Lord. That's what we're talking about. Your promotion is from the Lord. We see that Joseph was moved out of the pit. He was thrown into a pit by his brothers. He was moved out of the pit into slavery. It looked like things got worse for him. And he was moved from slavery into jail. Things were getting worse for him. And from jail to Pharaoh's second in command. This is the promotion of the Lord. Now, let's look at this. Lessons. God always uses needs in the world to elevate us. That's lesson number one. If you see a need, and you ignore it, you may be ignoring the need that God wanted to use to elevate you with. You must remember David and Goliath. What happened there? There was a Goliath that was challenging the nation of Israel. There was a need. David could have said, I corner, I mean, I'm just a boy. David answered that need. And today we know about David, I believe, because of him taking Goliath out. Think about Gideon. The nation of Israel was attacked by the Midianites. And they were in hiding. And God wanted to answer their prayer now. He wanted to deliver them from this situation. So what happened? What did God do? He went and he looked for Gideon. And Gideon said, I am the least in my family. I am a nobody. Even my family, my clan is like a nobody. I'm not qualified. And God said, mighty man of valor, God is with you. He answered that call. He met that need. When he met that need, he became the ruler. So I am saying to you, God is going to bring needs in your life. Focus on being a solution, not promotion. God will do what? Promote you. Don't pursue promotion. Pursue being a solution. What can I do? How can I solve this problem? As you do that,
God is going to promote you. The problem we sit with is people run after promotion. They seek promotion like nobody's business. Be the solution. When you are the solution, God is going to promote you. Why? Because God always uses needs in the world to elevate us. He does not promote you for the sake of promoting you. He promotes you to be a blessing to other people. And if you do not show yourself now to be faithful over little things, the Bible says you cannot be trusted with much. So promotion is a progression. Once you're promoted to that role, your role is then to serve the other people more. God wants to, we want you to serve the people. We want you to be the servant to those people. This one part here, it says, as you become the answer to the world, you'll see promotion in your life. The need that matches your gifting may be what God wants you to do. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, the Bible tells us that what God does is He puts a desire in us. And then as we have that desire, then we find ourselves doing that which He wants us to do. So when you see a need and you are able, you're gifted to deal with it, be the answer. Because that is what God wants you to do. Some people spend hours praying, God, show me what you want me to do. Just be the answer. You've got the gift. Don't say somebody else must do it. Go and do it yourself. And as you do that, you will find that you'll be doing exactly that which God wants you to do. And as you do what God wants you to do, God will keep on promoting you. He will keep on promoting you. He will keep on promoting you. And do not look at what is happening around you. The need that matches your gifting may be what God wants you to do, and it may be your ticket to promotion. If you don't catch your ticket by answering the need, unfortunately, you can miss promotion. Don't turn a blind eye to the need you can meet. We are not saying try to meet the needs you cannot meet. If you can meet the need, don't turn a blind eye. That could be your promotion. Joseph always received promotion, and those who promoted him didn't worry about anything. With the blessing of the Lord over his life and his dedication to excellence, he could be trusted with authority. Last week we spoke about what are the things that helped Joseph to get that promotion. There are things that we can do for us to put ourselves in a position to be ready to receive promotion. If we don't follow those principles, we will see others being promoted and we losing it. Just because we're not looking at those small things. In the workplace, develop yourself to be independent. Now, this is important. You know, we are always going to have somebody that we report to. Even the CEO reports to the board. When you are promoted into a position, come to a place where you do not need the person that appointed you telling you and dictating to you what to do and how to do things. Come to a point where you can function independently of them. That's the only reason why they appointed you. They did not appoint a puppet. They did not appoint a person that they will control on a daily basis. They saw the ability in you and they believed in your ability to be able to do the job, and then they promoted you. So then work on yourself to become independent so that you do not need their support. Let it be that you do not need their support. You don't need them to tell you what to do, but you must remember that you will always have to submit your ideas to them, because they are accountable for the outcome. Don't present a problem without a proposed solution. You are appointed to solve their problems, not to report problems. So you will go to them and say, this is the situation that we have currently, and I think the solution to it is this. Why should you do that? It's because, as I'm saying, they are accountable for the outcome. So in other words, you are saying to them, I've thought about it. I've thought about the solution. I'm thinking that the solution is this. What do you think?
Now, it could be that because of their exposure, maybe because of their experience now, they may be able to say, it's a good idea, but what do you think about this? Or they may say, brilliant idea, go ahead and implement what you thought is true. But you want them to say, go ahead and do. Don't just go and run and do things on your own as well, because now you're not accountable for the outcome. They are accountable for the outcome. So you have to give them the chance to decide and say what's happened. Promotion is a result. Don't pursue it. Just be the answer to the need. Be the solution to the problem. And as you focus on being the solution to the problem, promotion will come. Now, in conclusion, Genesis 41, verses 50 to 52, during this time, before the first of the famine years, two sons were born to Joseph and his wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. Joseph named his older son Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's family. When God bless you, you'll forget about all your troubles. Your brothers that hated you, you'll forget about them. Joseph named his second son Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in this land of my grief. First of all, he wipes the tears. Number two, he makes you fruitful. In a place where you're not supposed to be fruitful. This is God. Psalm 75, verses 6 to 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. So don't look at people. Don't look at the people at the north. Don't look at the people at the south. Don't look at wherever, at whoever. God is the judge. Be the solution. And as you are the solution, God is going to promote you. The last part, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11a. He has made everything beautiful in its time. In its time. So, at the right time, the promotion you are seeking will come. And as you focus on being the solution, you will see God promoting you. This is the word that I had for us today. And now we are going to partake of the Holy Communion. What is that? This represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. If you are a Christian, the Bible says his body was broken for you. Now tell me, when his body was broken for you, were you a holy person? Were you holy? You are not holy. You are a sinner as they come. So he died for you while you were a sinner. And you accepted him when you were still a sinner. So you partook of his body while you were still a sinner. Therefore, I'm trying to say to you, you don't have to be holy before you partake of his body. Because if you try to be holy, the Bible says nobody has no sin. You may not have stolen sugar this morning, but maybe you needed to do something which you did not do. And the Bible calls that a sin as well. There are sins of omission and sins of commission. So you do not qualify to partake of the Holy Communion because you have not sinned. You partake of the Holy Communion because you are a Christian. The body of Jesus Christ was broken for you. And when you receive it, then it empowers you to be who God has called you to be. The Bible says, because of his body, we are no longer going to be punished for our sins, because all our sins were punished on this body of Jesus Christ. This is not the real body. I just have to say that for the record. This is a representation. So all your sins were put on this body of Christ. All of them. Those that you did when before, what, in 2015, let me put it like that, all of them. Those that you did in 2016. Those that you will still do next week. All our sins were put on the body of Christ. You are not going to be punished for them if you believe in Jesus Christ. If you don't believe, unfortunately, you will be punished for not believing in Christ. You will go to hell for not believing in Christ. But because you believe in Christ, all your sins are taken care of. That's number one. But the Bible also tells us something. It says, by His stripes we were healed. So what happened to His body, it was not just the sins that were punished on that body. But it says as well the healing for our sicknesses and diseases. So when I partake of this, if I have sickness, I take it as I'm taking the healing that Jesus Christ produced for me. So if I've got something, I'm sick, I can take this as I take medication. So I can take it in the morning, lunchtime, at night. You know, I can take it as many times as I wish, because I'm always declaring. The Bible says when you partake of the Holy Communion, you're declaring the death and the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So take this. Take it. Receive it. In Jesus' mighty name, know that your sins have been forgiven. Before God, you're pure and holy. Number two, God took care of all your sicknesses and diseases. And when you partake of the blood represents the covenant. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed. God was saying, I will not go back on my word. Which said what? You are now forgiven forever. You are acceptable before me. I take you as mine. You are my child. The Bible says 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have it over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says God was in Jesus Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins to them. Chapter 5, verse 19. God is not imputing people's sin to them. But we, the body of Christ, what do? We like imputing their sin to them. So, I'm saying God took this blood as a sign of a covenant to say, I will never impute your sins on you anymore if you are in Christ Jesus. Never again. Therefore, you can expect the best from me. Don't say, I do not qualify. You qualify for everything because of this covenant. And if God can decide to withhold anything from you, He would be saying Jesus Christ died for nothing. I don't think God would at any stage look down on Jesus Christ. Never. So you and I are guaranteed everything that the Father has provided for us. So I will have us partake. First of all, let's partake of the body. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for your word that tells us about what the body of Christ has done for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we receive it with thanksgiving in our hearts. And Lord, we say yes. We are forgiven. All our sins were punished on the body of Christ Jesus, and we will never again suffer for our sins. We will not suffer for the sins of our forefathers and fathers. We are not going to suffer for any generational or suffer any generational curse, because the body of Jesus Christ took everything for us. We're so grateful for that. Father, we receive your blessing of health. Lord, your word says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, Father God. We'll run and not faint, Father. We'll walk and not grow weary. Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, we receive the renewal of our bodies as we partake of the body of Christ. We receive that by his stripes we were healed in the name of Jesus Christ. We receive our healing in every area of our lives. If there's any area in your life you need healing, I want you now to speak to the Lord and thank him and receive that healing right now in Jesus' mighty name. Father God, we thank you for health from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. Right now in Jesus' mighty name, we receive our health in Jesus' name. And Satan, we speak against you, you sickness and disease, we command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus Christ, and we receive our healing in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We are healed from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. Every part of our body functions in the perfection to which God created it. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the body. Father, we thank you for the covenant that will never be broken. The covenant that stands forever. Like our confession when we started this meeting, Father, that we have forgiveness of sins. Father, we're so grateful that, Lord, we are in good terms with you. You and us are in good terms. And nothing will ever go wrong in this relationship, because this relationship is established on the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that we are 100% accepted before you because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we partake of this covenant, and Father, we receive everything that you've given to us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and we give you praise for that. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's partake. Amen. Praise the Lord.